I promise you that you didn't have to take notes this week, and I will send you the PowerPoints if you're interested. So if you want any one of them, the Samson ones that we used in the morning, or the theistic evolution one, or the ones on angels, just send me an email. My email is in your booklet there at jimstyles1@gmail.com. And this, let me know whether you'd like PowerPoints or PDFs. That's helpful for me because it's easier to send you PDFs. And if you don't have Microsoft PowerPoint, you may not be able to open them. So I'm not sure how all that technology works. I've found in the past that PDFs are easiest for people. I like to send them myself, and then they're on my phone. By the way, if you want to email Sue, her email didn't make it into the booklet. They put mine in instead. But if any of you girls want to email her, it's tough to remember her email address. It's just susanstyles@yahoo.com. But you don't have to send it to me. I did think that as far as some of the good things that came out in the first session was that Eli and his sons, you look at their response to God's prophecy about Eli and his sons and how Eli just sort of took it and didn't really, really even care about it in a sense. But why in the world had they gone through this period to where some of us looked up what the priests were given? God had taken care of them. They had given, Eli and his sons were given a high position in Israel. God had provided them with food because the tithes were coming in. They were given the opportunity at the peace offerings and so on to have the shoulder of the animal, which was a good chunk of meat for them. And yet they weren't content with what God had given them, and they wanted more. And that's a weakness of human nature, that no matter where you are in this life, you can always want more. And the secret that Paul says is that he learned to be content with whatever state I am. He says that's where he learned to be content. He knew how to be abased. He knew how to be abounded. Everywhere and in all things I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that's a good message to go home with, that we have to learn to be content with what God gives us. It was also interesting to look at the differences between the types of prophecy, the conditional, which are open to change, versus the unconditional, which will not change, and to realize that we can turn our lives around. We don't have to be content with just the fact that, you know, something's coming on the earth or there's something that looks inevitable in our lives. We have to be the kind of people that realize and remind each other when you go home that, hey, we can change. God's giving us opportunities to change. And unfortunately, you look at Eli and you think, wow, why? How did that ever happen? That he got to this point where he had like no relationship with God at all. It's just like if God says this is what I'm going to do, he just says, okay, you know, go ahead. And it doesn't seem like he has any power to change that. And yet other Bible characters were not like that. We looked at some like Hezekiah and different people that heard a prophecy and they said, whoa, wait a minute, we're going to do something different. Or your readings this week in Jeremiah. I don't know whether you noticed, but we were doing Jeremiah maybe 7 or something in there. But Jeremiah just says to all the people, he says, why are we sitting still? Let's assemble ourselves into the central gate, in the central area there, in the courtyard, and let's put on sackcloth and change. And that was his response that he was trying to get the people to do. But apathy is a big problem. It's not necessarily for all of you, but when you go home to your CYCs and you're trying to work with people in your ecclesias, apathy can be a big issue in ecclesial life, where people just sort of, over time, they become apathetic to what they're being asked to do. And we have to find ways of pulling people out of that and pulling ourselves out of that and remind them that the truth is exciting and we want to get involved and we don't want to just be the kind of person who just doesn't care. That isn't going to help. Volunteering came up this morning, and that's a great one because you see at the camp this week how we're always asking for volunteers, right? Volunteers. So when we need volunteers to clean the bathrooms, all the hands are going to go up, right? And that's the way it should be at home, that ecclesial life is about volunteering. We need volunteers. We want to be volunteering, though, for the right reasons, as people pointed out this morning. We want to be volunteering for God, not just so that, hey, I cleaned the bathroom. Wow, look at me, you know, and doing it for pride, for human pride, because that can happen. We can go home and volunteer for jobs because we just want to look good in front of people. That's what the Pharisees would do. And we want to volunteer for the glory of God. And a number of you looked again at this idea of going through trials. When trials come upon us, we have to find a way to turn them into joy by looking at the end result, that we know that God is doing it for our good, so we can share His glory. And we have the confidence that James says that these things, when we meet these trials, they're testing our faith, but they're going to produce steadfastness. They're going to produce endurance. And these are the things God is looking for, faithfulness in the midst of trials. And so we can be confident that God is working in those situations. And a number of people talked in the last session I was in about looking at this idea of rejoicing in what we have and just being excited and showing our emotions. That question came up about, you know, our emotions. Are they all bad or are they all good? Or where do you put emotions in the truth? Because there's a tendency amongst the English-speaking countries to, like, very much suppress the emotions because we don't want to become a bunch of evangelicals. But at the same time, we looked at Bible characters like David that danced before God. He was so excited about bringing the Ark into Jerusalem. And there is a place for excitement. When God says to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength and all your mind, that's not just an academic love the Lord your God. That's a, like, love Him. Love is an emotion that we have for people. And He loves us that way. And so we want to build our emotions and our excitement on truth, not just have emotions and excitement. But when we build them on truth, there are certainly a lot of Bible examples of people who rejoiced and they were excited about getting involved in ecclesial life, and CYCs and your families. And this is the kind of relationship we want to have with our God. So build those emotions off of the truth of God's word and the excitement of what He's promised us and the hope that we have of sharing the glory of God, and then those things will be good. So what are you going to do different when you go home next week? I mean, this really is the time. This is when you make those commitments to go home and change your life. And some people looked at the fact that I'm going to go home and I'm just going to change my whole life. And some of you may be like that. You're the people that just like, whoop, but you got to be careful. You don't want to do that. But some people just think I'm just going to throw out all the junk of my life and go home and be a new person. Others of you are going to go and say, I'm going to tackle one thing at a time. And it depends on the person as to, you know, who you are and what you want to do. Both ways can work. But in the end, what we've all got to do is aim at the same goal, is that we want to be conformed to the image of Christ. We want to go home next week and do things a little different. We want to get involved a little more in our CYCs, our ecclesias, and be volunteers and looking for ways to help God and help His family. That's what we want to do. And whatever way you find to implement that, find it. But do something next week. Don't just go home and go right back to what you were doing before. And if you think that next week is when you'll think about it and that's when you'll make the change, the problem is if you go back to work on Monday and you're going back to your old situation, it just all of a sudden it takes back over again. And before you know it, you know, 40 days have gone by and you just went back to the same old things we did before. So I know some of you are going to get reminders from Tim about email reminders that we're in his group. He's going to remind them in 30 days about what we committed to, you know, and how are we doing. And that's good. It's good to get those kind of reminders. Somebody else mentioned like 40 days, that you wait 40 days and set an alarm on your phone. And it's like, what are you doing in 40 days? What have you really been able to implement from this whole week together? But God willing, God will help you. Christ will strengthen you to make some changes in your life. And hopefully you'll be able to look back at this study on Samson and Samuel as a life changer for all of you. So, with that, good job, everyone.